Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Welcome back into the 11 o'clock hour of the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Chad Withrow, Paul Kuharski, who's back from his European vacation. He's in studio. Jonathan Hutton will be back with us on Monday. David Reed is here. He is the chairman of the board. Clay Travis, presented by the Home Loan Expert, thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay joins us every Friday at 11 a.m. Plenty to discuss with Clay. Clay, how are you, man?
I'm doing excellent. How are y'all?
Are you back and rested after the trip to London?
You know what? I think the trip to London's actually helped me because, first of all, I told my wife this. I want to go over to London and do my radio show over there every year. So I hope that the Jags move over there and I could use the Titans game as an excuse every year. I love that schedule. I like being on 11 to 2 instead of 5 to 8 a.m. My life is infinitely better when I can go out to dinner, have a couple of beers, and not have to worry about the alarm waking me up at 4:15 or 4:20 in the morning.
We just had a caller, and I get a lot of this personally. We get a lot of it as the show. I'm sure you hear it sometime. We shred the best we can, but you're expert at the same and want to get your take. This idea, Mike called, you know, wanted to know where I played my football and how I got my expertise as to being able to critique the Titans wide receivers. So I wanted to take him into a world where people could only talk about things that they're expert on, and what a wonderful world it would be, like where we could only hear presidential critiques from two Bushes, Obama, yeah, Clinton, and Carter. And if everybody only spoke about the things that they had done themselves, what an interesting world we would live in. And to somebody like Mike, you would say what?
Well, I would say that, first of all, I mean, I think the president argument is a great one. And it basically ends that argument because they have no response. Because you would say, okay, well, have you ever been a United States senator? No. You ever been a governor? No. You ever been a president? No. Well, you shouldn't vote then. So it immediately, like, the entire purpose of democracy, in my mind, this is a big part of what I wrote in my book, is I'm a big believer in the marketplace of ideas. And that if everybody talks, eventually we end up with a consensus opinion, which is a good one. And the more people who are involved in the marketplace, the better. In fact, that's the entire premise of democracy. So when he calls in and he is making that argument, I mean, the president argument is a good one too, but you can also say, oh, so you think that only white men who own land should be able to have the right to vote, right? And he'll probably say, well, no. And what about, the idea that everyone doesn't have the right to an opinion is an incredibly elitist opinion. Now, what everyone has to do, and I think sometimes we do a poor job of this, is determining whose opinion is more rooted in factual accuracy, who has done the research to be able to have an opinion that is more valid than someone else's. For instance, I am a Civil War history buff. I think I know a lot about the Civil War. Most professors of history who specialize in the Civil War would know a lot more than I would.
But they didn't fight in the Civil War, Clay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I live in Franklin now, and I love to go to, like, you know, different Civil War battlefields. My opinion on the Civil War is not as accurate as it would be if I had ever been shot at while trying to load a musket, right? Like, so I think that argument, and look, you hear that a lot from athletes. And I think what it is ultimately an insecurity with the fact that other people judge them. And I think in general, the more public your job is, the more often you get judged. I mean, look, if you want to respond I get this all the time. I bet you guys do too. If I check Twitter during a show, somebody's like, nobody cares. Why are you talking about this? Well, my easy reaction is the reason why I'm talking about the subject that I have chosen is because over the past decade, I have proven to be pretty good about talking about things that people care about. The fact that you individually disagree with this particular topic that we are on right now does not necessarily mean that your opinion is better than mine. You're certainly entitled to it, but I think, you know, there's a pretty good historical track record that I'm good at figuring out what to talk about. But I think that's one of the dumbest statements that's out there. It's also funny to me because
it's also self-defeating for anyone making that argument.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, now, I'm a lawyer. I think I know more about legal issues than your average person does, and that doesn't mean that everybody's opinion is equal in terms of the validity you should give to it, but I think everybody has the right to an equal opinion, if that makes sense. Like, I think there are a lot of people who know infinitely more about a variety of subjects, and I try to use their expertise to help me craft my opinion. I don't think everybody's opinion should be taken as equal on every subject, but I do think everybody equally has the right to an opinion.
So, Clay, going back to the idea of the free marketplace of opinions and speech out there, it doesn't protect you from getting fired if you say something objectionable. Megyn Kelly said something about blackface on her television show that, while sounding a little bit naive and dumb, I don't think she was coming from a place of blackface is acceptable today. She was asking the question saying, when I was a kid, it was acceptable at the time. And she got fired from NBC. Your thoughts on how that went down? And was this, I honestly think it may have just been a good cover for NBC to fire her from a show that was not doing well.
Yeah, so I just wrote probably 1,000 words about this up on OutKick and published it probably, I don't know, 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, something like that. My general position on all of these subjects is I find it troubling when we say there are acceptable and unacceptable opinions to have. I think there are dumb opinions and there are smart opinions. I think that her opinion was ignorant in that she seems to not know the historical resonance of the blackface costume. I think what's more interesting than her comments is something that I don't know what the answer to you guys would be, but this is what I wrote in my column. I think it's interesting to think about now as a parent. What is my obligation to share past prejudicial stereotypes with my kids when they may have no idea that those stereotypes ever existed? And I don't think there's an easy answer to this. I've already been texting with a couple of people who've read the column and responded to me. But I think
that's my three
boys. Can I give you an idea for this, Clay? What if it's kind of a trial and error? Like, if you hear your child say something you know is not the right thing to say, that's when you explain it to them, the historical significance and why you don't say it.
It could be too late, though, and they could get burned.
But, I mean, you sit down and just talk about, hear all the words that have been used throughout history that we should never say.
Well, yeah, but I think that's also problematic in some way, to me at least, because I think about that propagates on some way the furtherance of those ideas even existing. Right. And so I don't know the answer. I mean, I think certainly in a social media age, there's probably a ton of parents out there sitting around thinking, man, it's Halloween. I hope my knucklehead college kid doesn't do something that makes his Halloween costume go viral. And the next thing you know, he can't get a job when he graduates from college, or hell, in this day and age, he gets kicked out of college. Right. And so I think that's the more interesting conversation to have. Here's the bigger issue that I have, too. I think that we live in an era where we automatically assume the worst all the time, right? And I don't know why that is. Like, it seems to me that if you use the Megyn Kelly example here, first of all, I don't think she's a horrible victim here, because she's going to get paid like $86 million to have worked for 1 year, right? It's hard to like really get worked up about her being a victim here, because she's getting insanely overpaid for a job that obviously she didn't do a great job at if you look at the ratings. But I do think that we need to, and I talked about this with the Riley Cooper story. I think there's a difference between intentional racist malice. And I would say that Riley Cooper, when he was screaming a racial slur at a security guard, was engaging in an intentionally racially malicious act, right? And I think there's a difference between that and, say, if you had an immigrant kid whose parents didn't know any different and he loved LeBron James and he was Asian or he was Hispanic or he was a white kid and he decided to make his face black, right? I think there's a difference between that, not knowing the significance of it. I also think there's a difference, you know, if there's a blackout at a college stadium and inevitably a lot of kids decide as part of that blackout, oh, I'm going to paint my entire body black. That's not dressing up as a black person. That's being a black, you know, like you would do a whiteout in the same kind of way. So I think we've lost the ability in America today to use nuance. And I think that's partly because social media requires that everything even be, always be the greatest or the worst, right? There's nobody out there who's like, I went to that movie and I thought it was thoroughly mediocre. By and large, that doesn't get shared on social media. You come out and you say, like, you know, I watched Red Sparrow on my flight back from London. I thought it was pretty good. You know, like, that's not the thing that gets shared. If you say it's the worst movie of all time or you say it was the best movie of all time, people react. And so I think we've created this paradoxical universe where everything has to be bipolar. Oftentimes, people are not their worst enemy, right? I think Megyn Kelly said something dumb. I don't think she should be fired for it. Just like I don't think the vast majority of people who have ever said something dumb at their work should get fired for it. I think if you apologize, you recognize that you said something dumb, you should get to continue if you're talented enough to continue.
We know that Clay loves the time difference from London to Nashville. Beyond that, we will ask him one thing from London that he wishes we had in Nashville next.
Clay, tell us first, though, about the home loan expert and Ryan Kelly.
Yeah, my guy Ryan Kelly will take care of you all over the city of Nashville. Our population is exploding. I was listening to you yesterday when you were talking with David Reed about the population in Spring Hill. I think he said it going from like 900 yep. to 40,000. It's one of the most amazing stats I've heard in a long time. I think that, that as part of that growth has come a ton of homes. And fortunately, because so many people want to live here, our homes have been increasing in value. If you're fortunate enough to have bought a home in Nashville, maybe you can go out right now, but you also have some credit card debt or you got some student loan debt and those interest rates are creeping up and they're high and they're hanging over your head. Why not put your financial house in order, wipe out all of your credit card debt in one fell swoop and get a nice low mortgage rate that's tax deductible? My guy, Ryan Kelly, can put your financial house in order. He took care of me. He can take care of y'all as well. You just go to his website, thehomeloanexpert.com. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. Put your family's house in order in time for the holidays at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Clay, I know you love that time difference. I'm wondering what other kind of vibe or social atmosphere or tradition that you come across in London you wish we had here.
So, yes, I love London. I love spending time there. There are two things in particular that are, I think, unique to London that I wish we had here. One, and this is probably just a request for a bygone era, I love the fact that they still have so many different newspapers there. I think it's awesome. When I was studying abroad in London, I loved reading so many different newspapers. I still get the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times delivered to my house every day. In fact, when I hang up with you guys, I'm going to go read both. I just really enjoy that paper culture where you sit back on a couch and you open up a newspaper and you flip through it. And maybe that's like the most old man habit I have, but I'm very active digitally. You guys know I'm on social media. I read on my phone like everybody all day long. But there's something about just having a nice newspaper and cracking it open and not knowing what's going to be inside that I find to be really enjoyable. The other thing that I think London has done phenomenally well, and I think I said this live from your show last week, I think that Nashville, as we grow, has a real challenge to preserve the quality of the history of which we are based, right, as a city, while also making room for all the best things that come with modern advancement. And I think that London, uniquely, has mixed old and new better than any city maybe that I've ever been to in the world. Whether it's, you know, you look at things that are 1,000 years old right next to buildings that are brand new and somehow they fit and match perfectly. good example that I'll give you. We went to St. Paul's, which was finished, I think, in 1711.
It's tremendous.
So, you know, it's 70 years older than our Constitution. And they had a pretty cool setup where they had all these Harry Potter wands lined up at a display leading directly into St. Paul's. I mean, Harry Potter obviously is very modern day. It's childlike. Kids love it. Adults who grew up with it love it. But it somehow fit perfectly to have them all pointing in the direction of St. Paul's. And so I think the British uniquely have just managed such a good integration of past, present, and the future all conspiring together to create a great atmosphere.
Clay, is your confidence in Marcus Mariota starting to wane at all?
Not really. And maybe that is maybe that's on me. But what I have seen from Mariota has shown me that that he can be an elite level quarterback in the NFL. And I know he can also not play great. But when I look at the data points and the stats out there, I think the Titans really, if I were running the Titans right now, I think they desperately need to make a move to get an adequate wide receiver to help replace Delanie Walker. And I think that Marcus Mariota is still sitting at the age of 24, had a tremendous amount of improvement that he can show. But also I think his quality of play is pretty high. In general, I think that the Titans have just, I think if you look at this season, the game that is going to haunt them for the rest of the season is the performance against the Bills. That's the one. Look, I mean, I think everything else that's happened this season, if you could just flip that script and they miss that field goal or Nick Williams catches that touchdown, I'd feel pretty optimistic about sitting at 4-3 headed into the final nine games of the season with, I think, four of the final five at home, if I'm not mistaken. The next couple are going to be tough, but that's the game that I think for the foreseeable future this season we're going to look back on and say, man, that's the one that we had no business losing.
Clay, we sat there in London and watched the Tennessee-Alabama game together, and we both turned to each other at one point and sort of said, this almost isn't even fun anymore to watch Alabama play because they're just so dominant. They're so good. Tennessee loses 58-21, and they play about as well as anyone has all year against Alabama. Tennessee was the first team to hold Tua Tagovailoa to back-to-back possessions without a touchdown in this entire season. I mean, the stats out there are mind-blowing with what they've done. They're off this week. They get LSU next week. Is there any chance they have a really close competitive game in the fourth quarter up until the college football playoff?
I'm not sure they have it in the playoff either, if Tua stays healthy. I think that what is happening here is you have got the most dominant coach of all time, Nick Saban, and you basically have given him the unlimited, you know, life code on Contra or Super Mario Brothers. And so it's impossible for him to lose. It'd be like if you remember, you know, you played Galaga back in the day or Donkey Kong. If you gave the greatest Galaga and Donkey Kong player of all time unlimited lives, what would he have been capable of? I think that's kind of what Tua gives Nick Saban, because he already was the greatest at what he's done, I believe, in our lives and maybe in anyone's lives. And then you gave Nick Saban the greatest college football coach, college football quarterback, statistically, this is not hyperbole, through eight games ever. I mean, I want you to hear that again. Tua Tagovailoa is the greatest college football quarterback, according to data and stats, through eight games that has ever existed. So you give Nick Saban the greatest college quarterback that ever has existed, and it's just not fair. I think they may win. If he stays healthy, if Tua does, I think they may win every game this year by double figures, and I think we're going to start, after they blow out LSU, which I think is going to happen next week, I think we're going to start to ask the question, is Alabama the greatest college football team of all time?
I'm with you. It's unbelievable to watch that offense. Clay Travis, Outkick the Coverage. He's with us every Friday, 11 to 11:30. Love having Clay on the show. It's presented by the Home Loan Expert, thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Have a good weekend.